have a confession to make. I love food. What I mean by that is that I really can't think of anything I enjoy more than a really great meal. Tom and my children have become quite frustrated with me from time to time because I can consume an entire vacation day pondering where the next meal will be. It's probably a bit of a relief that I don't eat breakfast, so there are only two meals a day to obsess over. Food, in my estimation, is an art. I know there are folks who eat merely to sustain the body and provide the needed energy to survive, but that is absolutely the least of my concerns. Food is all about the experience. And the experience is of utmost importance. If we read Paul's letters, also known as epistles, that are a large part of our New Testament, we find that food was very important to the folks in the budding church as well. Not only were there struggles over whether the Jewish purity codes were still in effect, there were also concerns about foods that the ever-present pagan neighbors had offered as sacrifices to their gods. And of course, you'll remember that Jesus got himself into some serious trouble over the folks he chose to share meals with. In the portion of Paul's letter to the Corinthians that we have today, the concern at hand is the eating of meat sacrificed to idols. This is a problem born of blending folks from different backgrounds and cultures. This newly emerging church is not just a continuation of those who trace their lineage to Abraham. Their concern is primarily whether or not the food at hand is clean or unclean. Does it have cloven hoofs? Does it live in the ocean and not swim, or have wings and not fly? Those are the questions that deeply concern Jewish folks and Jewish converts to Christianity. But for those who had a pagan upbringing, the concern has to do with meat that has been sacrificed to idols. And Paul is very clear, actually, about both of these issues, but here about the meat that has been sacrificed to idols. At the end of the day, Paul says, idols are nothing. They have no power. They have no authority. They are not gods, little g, because there is only one God, big G. So whether you eat meat sacrificed to idols or don't eat meat sacrificed to idols, it really doesn't matter. What a relief. But, says Paul, even though you know there is only one God and that meat offered to idols has no overt relevance, others who believe that this meat has worth to the little g gods are watching, and your influence on them matters. Think about that for a minute. Whether you eat meat sacrificed to idols or meat that has been historically thought to be unclean is of no relevance whatsoever. In Christ, you're free from the myriad rules that had so long been held up as barriers to keep you from God. But with this freedom, there is responsibility. No longer are we responsible to the rules, but we are responsible to each other. How we live our lives, what we do, actually does matter. Not so that we can check it off a list of things done and left undone and show God that we have, in fact, followed all the prescribed rules, but so that what we do is not a stumbling block for others. The whole of what Paul is talking about is not about what is eaten. He's clear on that time and again, but it's about how we live in relationship with each other. This freedom that we've been given is not a freedom of fierce independence, in which it's my way or the highway, but a freedom that is entwined with responsibility for each other. Paul goes so far as to say, when you sin against members of your family and wound their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Those are some pretty serious words. Words that we might rather not hear. In the time in which Paul was writing this letter, there was no sense of independence, at least not in the way in which we live today. There was no every person for herself kind of thinking. The very heart of a person's identity was in every way dependent on the group to which you belonged. A person's group was responsible to that person, and that person was responsible to the group. Period. Perhaps we've gotten too far away from our roots. Perhaps we could stand a lesson from our early church mothers and fathers and realize that we are all interconnected, and what we do as individuals matters to us all as a whole. As we saw in Paul's exposition on whether or not meat previously offered to idols is a problem or not, this line of thinking can become a slippery slope. Following Paul's argument, it seems that the perception is, at the end of the line, what really matters. If a person perceives that the meat has a real connection to a pagan god, then it should not be eaten. But if the person understands that pagan gods have no validity whatsoever, and therefore the meat offered to them has no power, any more value than any other meat, then eating that meat has no effect, unless it has the potential of influencing a person who is younger in their Christian belief and still holds on to some of their pagan past. In other words, unless it is perceived to have that association. In a time in the world in which people hold tightly that individual perception is truth, my truth is the only truth, and if it conflicts with your truth, then your truth is fake. In this time in which we live, I think we do well to remember the deeper message that Paul is trying to impart, which is how Christians live in relationship to each other, how Christians value each other, how Christians love each other. And that's what really matters. If we truly realize the interconnectedness and importance of each and every one of us and what we bring to the whole, then we will not devalue the position or perception of the other. On the contrary, we will strive to build each other up and encourage each other, not to be a stumbling block or a hindrance. The opening line of our reading today sums it all up so well. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. We're not to be puffed up by our knowledge and our certainty of our own position and our understanding, but we are to build each other up in love. And since we've been talking about food, I want to invite and encourage each and every one of you to come back after the 10:30 service at about 11:30 to join us for the annual parish meeting and a wonderful meal. It's a good opportunity to practice building each other up in love.